Welcome to worship. My name is Mark White, and I serve as senior pastor at Forest Hills Baptist Church. Forest Hills is a moderate Baptist church located in central Raleigh near the NC State campus. We are a passionate, international, intergenerational church community building deeply devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to love God, love people, and live the gospel. And we're trying to live out this vision by serving and caring for our community. We invite you to be a part of our church family. And again, I offer you my welcome.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning at Forest Hills, and wherever you're tuning in from, we are so glad that you've decided to join us here this morning as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we get ready this morning, there's a couple of announcements for you, our church family, to be aware of. First, we want to thank you so much for all those people who have donated so far for our fundraising drive to purchase computers for graduating seniors who are coming out of Wake County Foster Care. Up to this time, we've been able to purchase 9 computers, and that is an amazing testimony of your faithfulness and generosity as we support those in need throughout our community. As a reminder, this fundraising drive continues on through May the 9th, and get this, 9 computers down, and there's only 18 seniors who really need one. So imagine that we're halfway there, and if you haven't given, please consider giving what you're able towards this important cause. Second, starting next week, our senior pastor, Mark White, will start his May book study. Details about that can be found online in our bulletin this morning, but he'll be tackling the issue of immigration and the Bible and how we can look at the issues facing our country in a faithful way today. But most importantly this morning, we want to remind you that next Sunday, May the 2nd, we are returning to indoor, in-person, weekly worship services here at Forest Hills. We know that so many of you are excited to come out in a safe and responsible manner and worship our Lord and Savior together with others in our faith community. And we are so glad to make that opportunity available to you at 11 o'clock through our traditional and contemporary worship services. For those of you who are unable or just aren't comfortable yet being coming out and joining us in person, we totally honor, respect, and support any decision you make for the health and safety of you and your family. And we look forward to continuing to worship with you online and by phone weekly on Sundays at 11 a.m. But we, as we make this transition, we celebrate the Lord's faithfulness in bringing about good things in our church community, in our larger state, and across the world. And we pray that you would continue to do what you can to keep others safe and healthy as you move about your corner of the world. As we gather this morning, know that you are loved, know that you are seen, and know that our God is an extremely good God.
Music. Let's join our hearts and our voices together this morning. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul.
Good morning, Forest Hills family and friends and visitors. We are thankful that God is great, and he is great for so many reasons, for his love and mercy that we are so undeserving of. But we are here this morning to just share with you our excitement for returning to in-person worship. It is a moment that Carl and I have been waiting for probably since the beginning of the year. We've been ready. We understand that people may not be, but we are, and we look forward to greeting you and seeing you again. For us, a huge part of worship is fellowship, and while we've enjoyed being able to kind of lay around and worship just us on Sunday mornings, we've missed that fellowship, and we think that's a huge part. Relationships. We just can't thank you enough for the staff, enough for the decisions they've had to make, and the diaconate for the decisions they've made. But we are just so excited to be able to say we're going to be here next week, and just look forward for this room to be full and upstairs to be full. And we're just so thankful for that. And God is great, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a great and awesome God. I thank you and praise you that you are our almighty God. Lord, you are our protector. You are our provider. Lord, you are a God whose timing is perfect, and you do all things in your time, and you make all things beautiful in your time. Just as you are promising to do as we start back again in person, Lord, and continue with our live feed. Lord, forgive us when we lack our trust in you, Lord, when we try to go before you, when we try to do things in our own power, Lord, instead of trusting in you and your perfect timing. Lord, I thank you, as Paul has already shared, for how you have protected us, how you have continued to keep this church body together, Lord, and unified through this time. I just pray that you would with us as we move forward with the in-person, Lord, that you would continue to wrap your arms around us. We know you're a God that cares for us and sustains us, Lord. We pray for those that are home that may not be able to come back at this time, Lord, for them to know that they are just as important as the people that come in person, Heavenly Father. So we just give this time to you. We celebrate with you and who you are, Lord, for us. And we just ask that you be with us for the rest of our service. In your name we pray. Amen.
My treasure and friend, Lord.
The Psalms speak to a wide variety of human experiences and emotions, from distress to despair to joy and celebration. Now, today we'll study Psalm 4, which is one of the 73 Psalms attributed to King David. And in this Psalm, we will see that David has been agonizing over his troubles, and he's in distress because people have been dishonoring him. But God advises him to not let his problems lead him to sin. Instead, he's encouraged to spend some time pondering things. In other words, to give some deep thought and reflection to what's been happening in his life, which frankly is good advice for all of us. So let's take a moment now to listen to our scripture. I'll read all 8 verses of Psalm 4. And if you have a Bible near you, I invite you now to open to this passage. Again, I'll read all verses of Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of our Lord. Now, we set aside time for our families and our jobs. We set aside time for church and service, and we set aside time for fun and recreation. But do we set aside time for thinking? Now, I ask this question because there's a need for deep, critical thinking in our world today. And yet, life really doesn't leave a lot of time and a lot of space for this. People are busy, and we often don't have the time to slow down and think carefully about the issues facing us, or even think carefully about our faith. And public life certainly isn't encouraging deep thinking. The media thrives on sound bites, and Twitter limits communications to 280 characters, neither of which, in my opinion, encourage deep and thoughtful reflection. Now, God gave us brains, and we should put them to use by reflecting on the issues of life. In fact, we're designed by God to do this, which is the advice that we find in Psalm 4, where it says, "When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent." Now, no question that's good advice, but recent research suggests that people don't care much for pondering. People don't want to sit still and think. They want to be busy and do things. Now, the research that I'm referencing was conducted on people ages 18 to 77. They were put in rooms with no one else, and they were told to entertain themselves with just their thoughts. Now, most people in this study showed that they didn't care for being alone and thinking. They consistently showed that they preferred doing something, having an activity to do. Now, part of this study had the participants spend some time alone at home where they could focus solely on their thoughts. And they were asked to do this for just 15 minutes. That really isn't a lot of time. And yet, about a third of the participants admitted that they cheated by engaging in some activity, like using their cell phone or listening to music. Now, we might think that these results are due to the easy access to electronic devices like smartphones and iPads. But the researchers believe that the use of electronic gadgets and other such things are merely a response to a deeper desire to never be without something to do. So what are we to make of this? Are we hardwired to prefer the external world, the things outside of us, over the interior world of the heart, mind, and soul? Well, it looks like it's the case. After all, human life is designed to engage with the world. And we're always doing things. Even when we're by ourselves, our focus is usually on something outside of us, like music or television. You know, we seem to have a preference for external activities. As a result, the interior life, the life of deep thinking and reflection, is neglected. And yet, I think it still tries to express itself. And we see evidence of this in the form of sleep problems and disorders. You know, we live in a culture of insomniacs. People have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep because they're visited by their thoughts. Now, all day long, we are involved in activities. But the moment we crawl in bed with nothing else to do, thoughts start popping up. We tend to lie awake at night replaying the day's events in our minds. And so our nights become a time for second guessing and piling worry upon worry. We're haunted by the regrets from today, and we're fearful about the uncertainties of tomorrow. And that, of course, can lead to some sleepless nights. Of course, there are certainly many other factors that contribute to sleep problems. But I do wonder what might happen if we gave more time during the day to pondering life and faith. Might that lead to a better night's rest? Well, my focus today isn't on sleep, but on the relationship of deep thinking and the spiritual life. Now, we are prone to focus much more on the external world than the internal one. And yet, God has designed us to engage with both. Now, in church, we often talk about the importance of having quiet time with God. And we know that personal devotions are an essential devotion and discipline for spiritual growth, something that Jesus practiced. You know, he regularly left the disciples in the crowds so that he could have more alone time for prayer. He needed space where he could find some silence. Now, quiet time is certainly useful, but is sitting in silence necessarily better than engaging in some activity when it comes to listening for God and seeking God's wisdom? Personally, I don't think so. And honestly, it doesn't work for everyone. For some people, God seems to speak more clearly through conversations and activities with other people, or through reading and writing. Even watching an interesting TV program can help folks hear something from God. Also want to point out that sitting in silence with just our thoughts can be really, really hard to do. A lot of people, for example, who try to practice meditation, give it up because it's tough to sit silently in a quiet space and just listen and reflect and think. But that doesn't mean we should avoid sitting silently, pondering life and faith. Now, I want to return to verse 4, where the psalm tells us to ponder. Now, if we can agree that we should spend some time pondering things, what should we be thinking about? Well, as followers of Jesus, we could spend time reflecting on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, one of Jesus' parables, or any number of scripture passages. We could also spend some time reflecting on how our faith relates to the problems and issues that we're facing personally or corporately. Now, these are the kinds of things we should meditate on. And as we reflect on them, we can pray that God's Spirit will speak to us in some way. Now, this can be tough work because we may not trust what we're hearing inside our hearts and our minds. Or we might think that we don't have much of value to offer, which then leads us to seek out the thoughts of other people. And so we read books and listen to podcasts and other such things. And certainly there is a place for engaging the thoughts of other people. But we still need space to develop and deepen our own thoughts, ideas, and opinions. Now, with that said, let's keep in mind that thinking all by itself is insufficient in experiencing the fullness of our faith. The Bible is full of examples of people who express their faith in both thought and action. In James, for example, we're reminded that true faith is a faith that moves us to act. And if we're not acting on what we believe, then James would say our faith is dead. So what's the best way for us to combine thought with action? I think it's an important question for us to answer because deep thinking will lead to meaningful action. And both of these are vitally important to the spiritual life. But as I mentioned earlier, people would much rather do an activity than sit silently in a room meditating on a passage of scripture or on some issue or problem. So how do we bring thought and action together? Well, for starters, we don't need to separate these activities. Truth is, we can be involved in an activity and engaged in deep thinking at the same time. And there's not one formula for how to do this because what works for one person may not work for another. The other day, when my family and I were watching TV, Ava looked over at Victoria and saw that she was curled up under a blanket. It looked like she was sleeping. And so Ava asked, "Mom, what are you doing?" And she said she was thinking. She was creating her own little quiet space while watching TV. And she told Ava that she was trying to solve a problem in her head. And she told us that the way she does this is by envisioning a whiteboard in her mind, where she's able to put down her own ideas and thoughts and eventually find an answer. That's what works for her. Now, I'm different. Some of my best thinking happens when I'm out on a run. Actually, I'm doing more cycling these days than running, but I need to be physically active. And when I do something like running or cycling, my mind gets refreshed and renewed. And when I'm finishing exercising, there are a lot of times when I've discovered a solution to my problem or made a decision or even had a spiritual encounter with God. Now, the only downside is that when I get deep in thought like this, when I'm out on a bike ride or running, I may forget to pay attention to my surroundings, and then I get lost. And that's what happened to me a few weeks ago when I was in Umpstead State Park. That's life. Now, in the 17th century, there was a monk known as Brother Lawrence who wrote a classic book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And in this book, he tells the story of how he was assigned to work in the monastery's kitchen. That's really not glamorous work for a monk who might prefer leading worship or writing a theological article or a Bible study or just quietly praying. But Brother Lawrence saw this as an opportunity to try to pay attention to God's presence while he was working in the kitchen. And he discovered that encountering God while washing pots and pans with people talking all around him really wasn't much different than meditating quietly all by himself in his room. Both take work. And in both settings, he realized he could focus his mind on the Lord and do some deep thinking. Now, not everyone works like that. Some people might find a noisy kitchen or riding a bicycle or sitting with family too distracting for deep thinking. And that's okay. But each of us should try to figure out what conditions help us do our best thinking so that we might have a space where we can ponder the issues of life and the things of God. Now, that might happen in the kitchen as you cook dinner, or on a bike ride, or in a quiet space where no one can disturb you. But deep thinking is severely needed in our world today. It's also needed by us personally. Deep thinking, you see, will enrich our faith. It will help us grow and mature, and it even leads to important solutions to the problems that we face today. Let's also remember that good thinking is not enough for a truly vibrant, life-giving faith, and neither are mindless activities that haven't been shaped by some spiritual reflection. Both thought and action are needed. And when we're guided by deep thinking, empowered by a rich and vibrant faith, we can be people who do God's will. I want to encourage all of us to cultivate some space this week where we can ponder and reflect and meditate and pray, and then find meaningful ways to live this out through our actions. Would you pray with me? Oh God, give us the wisdom to sit in your presence and listen for your voice. Help us to not be afraid of being still and sitting quietly so that we can ponder and reflect on you and your ways and even the issues of life. Help us cultivate a rich and vibrant faith marked with deep and passionate thinking, along with meaningful action. And in both our thoughts and our actions, we pray that you will shape us into Christ-like people. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.